And of course, on the human level, there's no better feeling than to be right. But tonight I find it no coincidence. I feel it as it is a God thing to confirm to you the word that God is going to bring out tonight. This is by no strange arrangement. I came with what the Lord has laid on my heart. Let this be of confirmation to you. Turn with me in your Bibles to the 16th chapter of Mark. Tonight's message is called, Tell My Servant Peter. Hallelujah. We can't praise him for that, for confirmation. You should know that this is from God. Praise God. Amen. I knew if he was going to take off with it, we was going to be all right. But since he's opened the door, I'm going through. I'm going on. Let's read from the first verse through verse 7. This is no coincidence. If you do not believe me, come and get what is on my papers later. This is a God thing. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, in the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. In entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side. Say, right side. Clothed in a white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted or afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. Father, we thank you and praise you for this night. God, we praise you for your word. Let it be confirmed out of the mouth of two or three. And God, as you have brought it forth, in this miraculous way, for us to already know ahead of its time. Lord, let us take of utter importance this word. And God, if there's anyone that's here that wants prayer, let them not go until they receive their help. Father, I pray for your strength this night. Help us to bring forth this word in the passion to which you have placed it in our spirit. For God will give you our all. As you give us yours. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said. Amen. Amen. So as we preached on last night. And opened up a little bit of the way. We got all the way to the point. Where Christ had been resurrected. Here we open up in the word of God. In Mark's account of this. As the three ladies. Are on their way to the tomb. It had not yet been discovered. That Jesus was gone. No doubt in their hearts and minds they were heavy with grief. You can imagine losing someone so close to you that not only meant something to you on a blood level, but also all the things they beheld him to do. When you lose somebody that lives with purpose, it leaves a great big hole in your heart. You know the mark that you leave in this life, the way people will remember you is how much they miss you for the things that you did. They're not going to miss you for the things you didn't do. So get busy. Love people. Show them something of God in you. But they had their spices. They were going to perform the tasks of an undertaker. They were going to try and preserve the body if the body was there. And as they were on their way to this tomb, of the rich man, that was another prophecy that was fulfilled, that he'd be buried in the tomb of a rich man. They were on their way to this tomb and thinking to themselves, well, we're not strong enough to roll this away. How are we going to get the door open? And I can imagine as it came into their sights in the distance that something looked out of the ordinary. For when they went to the tomb prior, it had been rolled shut. and they had saw that body be put into the tomb. But something had happened. Little did they know what was to come. As they approached inside of the tomb in fear, affrighted, as the Bible says, they saw someone sitting at the right hand. They saw a presence before them that let them know exactly what was going on. He wasn't stolen. He wasn't taken elsewhere. He wasn't vandalized. Hallelujah, the enemy would have loved to have done that, to continue to drag him out and martyr him and make it worse than what it was. But God's plan had been fulfilled, and it was time to show the resurrection power of the Christ. And hallelujah, the angel spoke unto them and said, he is no longer here, but he is risen. Hallelujah, we've got to praise God to know that it is the only risen one that we can serve today that loves us. There are a lot of deities in this world that you could call out on, a lot of Buddhas and a lot of zodiacs and signs that you can call out on. You could believe in Greek mythology, but there's only one deity that was willing to die for you, that loved you, that you could find mercy in a time when you needed forgiveness. So the angel sent word and said, go and tell the disciples and Peter. The Lord put this in my spirit for this occasion, and I'm going to take my time because I don't want you to lose any of this. You begin to read in the book of Mark, in the 14th chapter. If you start at verse 22, work 50 verses through and you'll get this. I'm going to give you the condensed version for the sake of time, because I want us to get to altar service. You see, Peter needed to know that he was not forsaken. He had failed in some things. Bear in mind, Jesus had prepared his disciples for what was ahead. He had told them about the crucifixion, the persecution, as well as his resurrection. In fact, they should have not been surprised at all to find out that he was still alive. But yet we in human nature, as we tend to do, will hear from God and then doubt what we've heard and not go forward by faith believing it has been and it shall be. Peter had vowed to never be offended, but yet he was. You see, he needed to know that Jesus still loved him. He needed to know that Jesus was still going to hold his vow to him. I'm telling somebody this right now. I wrote this, and I don't know who I wrote it for. To fail does not make one a lifelong failure. God's love reaches out to those who have failed. The cross and that resurrection guaranteed that love for you. To the world's standards, I could have been a lifelong failure. But knowing he is risen, I am alive, and I am a success. Each and every one of you might feel like that you failed in your life, but don't call yourself and be defined as a failure. Don't look back at your past and let it define who you are right now. For if we were supposed to be lifelong failures, his body would have been found there that day. And they would have had to have preserved it. And it would have just been a man that performed some miracles. But there was something that was greater inside of Jesus that went beyond just being a disciple. There was something greater in him that went beyond just what he endured in torture. But he said, I will not only be crucified and persecuted, but I will be resurrected. That is brought forth from something which you were into something which you will become. Hallelujah. I am not a failure, but I am resurrected into something that I have become today. You are not defined by your past, but through Jesus Christ, he will make you a brighter future. A brighter day is coming. A brighter day is coming. Lift your head up high, for he has risen. He is alive, and he is moving in this place. Peter had mingled with the enemies of the Lord, trying to hide. You'll find the people that like to drink when they fail, try to hide in a bar somewhere, and drink their troubles away. For me, my comforts weren't too far from that, but I didn't even have the audacity to go in public. I would regress into isolation. And oh, when you're in idle time alone and not prepared, oh, how the devil will come after you. You better be careful not to regress into isolation unless you're stealing away to call out on God. For in those dark hours where you ponder in your mind, it's a dangerous game to play. For sometimes the answers that you seek for, you may not ever know why. You may not ever know how come. You may not ever understand why it had to be. But through the peace of God, we're able to overcome everything that we don't understand. He mingled with the enemy. He had been warming himself by the wrong fire. Caught himself in a place that he shouldn't have been. But God saw him all along. And I know that we would find it peculiar that he would use a rooster to crow out in this moment. But Jesus wasn't able to be there to say that, "I told you, Peter. I told you, Peter. I told you, Peter." So he used the foolish thing to confound him to realize that God was omnipresent no matter where he was dwelling. You might be dwelling by a fire that lets you feel comfortable, but if it's not the fire of God, then there's still things within you that need to change. You don't need to tell me all the things that you've done. If you will get in the presence of God, he will reveal it unto you, that you will know what needs to go. He denied the Lord 3 times according to what was spoken unto him. And I don't know about you, but human nature, if somebody says that you can't do something, the one thing we try to do with all our being is do it. Oh, you can't meet that deadline. Watch me. Watch me. And you can get to the end, but it's going to come with a cost. Can you imagine hearing from Jesus himself saying, "You will deny me," being one that had been by his side? As good as we have felt in God, do you think that you are so close that you couldn't find yourself in a place where you would deny him? Whether you choose to tell me in a minute or not, we all have. When we deny our praises, we deny him. When we deny our testimony, we deny him. When we deny the good things that he's done in obedience to him, we're denying him. The world is looking to see, as they asked him, "Aren't you that Peter that walked with Jesus? Aren't you that brother that walked in revival? Aren't you that Dan Meredith that ran the sound at church that night? Aren't you Gary Gulley that has preached in the altars of that church before?" If we're not too careful and we get caught up in our pride and being afraid, we'll deny the only thing that's been good to us. We'll deny the only thing that has gave us strength. Now you might get used to me and I might get used to you, but the one thing we should never get used to is getting blessed by God. If you take advantage of what he's pouring out, you'll miss the next one, for you won't even see it coming, because you'll be looking for why you hadn't got this and why you hadn't got that. But if you look at what God's done, you will not deny him. He didn't want to be identified, is why he denied. It's easy to get behind anointed singing and come in and preach the house down. But there's been times after I've preached a rough one that I didn't even want to see anybody the following day, because I was so exhausted and felt like that I had just given everything and received nothing in return. Sometimes you don't want to be identified, because when you return unto yourself, there's a battle that you have to encounter and overcome. Sing a song and nobody say a word. Crickets chirping. You tell me if you don't feel bad the next day about it. Preach the word of God for an hour and a half and pour your spirit out, and nobody come by and say, "Good job, brother." You won't want to be identified either. Peter had walked with Jesus and he had saw everything, and even had been in righteous anger to go after the soldier that was trying to bring him into captivity, but found himself in a place where he didn't want to be seen. That's us. That's us. That's us. That's where we are. We come in, and it's not like you can't come in and nobody recognizes that you have came in. Whether someone sees you come in or someone tells you next to you, "Hey, brother such and such has showed up." If you're anointed of God, you know what they're looking for. Not what you're wearing, but they're looking for what's in here that can be a blessing. You have got to learn that there is going to be suffering when you take a stand. Because when you're not willing to be identified, then the light of God cannot shine out of you. He said, let your light so shine before men. Oh, hallelujah. I read in another place, it says, don't put it behind a bushel. Don't put it to where no one can see. But that's where we are. We're in here, but the lights are off. We're in here, and the juice isn't turned on. We've got a pulse, but there's nothing moving. Hallelujah. The enemy would have you to sit in here just existing in idleness, but that's dangerous ground to tread, for there is greater to be had in God. And don't look to me to get you blessed, but look to him and be reminded that if he is alive, then he's alive in here. If he's alive, then he's in you, wanting to live every day of your life. He's not some Pharaoh that's in a museum. We went into the Louvre in Paris and saw all kinds of immaculate tombs of previous pharaohs. See people that have been mummified. Jesus is not a mummy. He's not a dead God. But he is alive. As you breathe, he is alive. And as long as you live and accept him, he'll be alive in you. You'll know that he's with you when you get peace in something that you don't understand. You'll know he's alive when your bills get paid and you didn't have it in the bank. You'll know he's alive. Man, I feel God now. You'll know he's alive when he brings you out of sadness and returns you unto the seat of joy. You'll know he's alive when you came so far short. But he says, I love you. I love you. Come on home. Come on back. I want you in my fold. If he is in you, you'll know it because he is alive. It's like rivers of living water. Not stale waters. Not still waters, living water, meaning water that has movement. If it has movement, it has energy. And if it has energy, something pumped that force into the water. I'm telling you right now, as God is moving in this place, you have got to realize there's something. Somebody, just get your hand and go right here with your hand. There's something down in here that if you'll just let it forth with a praise or with a song and just accept that you've already got the goods, then you can be blessed in the Holy Ghost tonight like you've never been before. Oh, give me five people in here that'll just let God use them for 10 seconds. Give me 10 people. That'll stand up and let what is alive in here come out in the name of Jesus. Give me 20 people. Oh, hallelujah. Now we're coming. Now we're talking. Somebody ought to give him praise. Somebody ought to let someone else know that the rivers are flowing. Every obstruction must go. Every obstruction will go. There's no stick, no branch, no log that'll stay in a moving river. There's no animal, no corpse, no obstruction. No dam that'll ever come against. What is a woo? Don't wait on me. Sit down when you feel better, when you have closure. It's in here. It starts out by peace of mind. I want you to understand how the Spirit moves. We have to learn to grow. It begins to bring peace of mind over you. Everything that has bothered you before you came in begins to leave your mind, right? All of a sudden, it begins to move in your vision. The people that maybe you had a problem with when you came in, when you look at them again, you'll see them through the eyes of Christ. All of your senses, God begins to put under subjection to the Spirit. And all of a sudden, you feel like saying something. All of a sudden, you feel like shouting something. All of a sudden, you feel like giving God the glory.
all of a sudden it moves in your mouth, and all of a sudden you may not even understand what's coming out. It might be in the prayer language. There's been some prayers I didn't have any words left to say, but I just moaned and said, oh, not some of the greatest moves of God I ever had was communicated in a language that couldn't be interpreted by the enemy. Don't be afraid to moan and groan in Him. The first time I groaned, I was in a bedroom at my mother-in-law's house. We were going through a great loss in the family, and I remember getting down. I'll never forget it. And all of a sudden, something got in my mouth, and I just released it all. And I began to feel the peace of God begin to move in that house. And anytime I ever want to get in tune with God and get the enemy out of my way, I just release what is down in here and say, oh God, lead me, oh Lord. Oh, let me crawl, God, if I have to. Let me roll in the floor. No, let me be your vessel, willing. Some of you are right there. You're in between having it in here as lip service and having it in here, which is in the depths of your soul. When that which you feel in the depths of you comes out, all of a sudden you finally have no regard for anybody else. Sometimes when I'm preaching, I don't even see anybody. I see bodies, but I don't see anybody. What God has shows me is the needs of the church. He begins to speak to me. And you could come here and rip the mic out of my hand. You could tell me to leave, but I would still be in a place where God would bless my house. Why? Because I let the connection happen between what is in the depths of me come forth out of me like rivers of living water. I believe in the book of Revelation, it says it flows from the north and the south and the east and the west. Everywhere, perimeter. Everywhere where you go, He is there. I feel like I need to tell that to somebody. Everywhere that you go, God is there. Everywhere where you fall to your knees, God is there. When you've done all that you can do, God is there. When you've cried your last tear, God is nigh. When you've went as far as you can go, God is there. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to be shouting because you've been to the edge and God has blessed you. Hallelujah. Don't wait on me to tell you to shout. Lord, help us all to get out of our comfort zone. Lord, help us all to use the foolish things. I need a few roosters up in here right now. I need somebody to crow. I need somebody to know that God is in them.
Father, we praise you this night. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I would ask you if you felt the presence of God, but I believe you do. Peter was a broken man. Without Christ, his foundation was still uncertain. From the 6th chapter of Luke, it reads that his net was broken. His pride was broken. His partnership was broken. Yet he left all to follow Jesus. Now we felt disqualified for denying him. Peter needed to know that he still belonged. That is what separated him from the disciples. He still needed to know that he had a place with Jesus. And there are some of us tonight, I don't like using the term backslid. I'm going to say that we have drifted from God. And some of you have come tonight just needing to still know that you belong. And the Lord is, through confirming this scripture, through the prophetic encouragement, and by what we have preached, you should know more than you've ever known your entire life that you do belong with Jesus. That you do have a place with God. If you do not know Christ, tonight is your night to know Him. I want to read you the words of Peter as I come to a close. 1 Peter chapter 1. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. This is coming from the man that got reassurance. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. This is the man that got off the boat, who had threw his nets and couldn't catch nothing, and met a man that compelled him to go on a journey. That was probably one of the most amazing experiences to have. And even through his failures as a human, you hear the words of this person, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. And full of glory. You can read as Peter, he said he called the resurrection his living hope. You read that in the Bible, you'll find he says that that was his living hope. Without the resurrection, he would have never known that he belonged to Christ still. Without the resurrection, he would have never found mercy, even denying that he was the Messiah. Without the resurrection, he would have never moved forward as he heard the words that upon this rock, I'm going to establish you. Upon this foundation, your weakness will then become like concrete, mended in with my love, mended in with my mercy, mended in with all that I have to give you, that he could establish you according to your faith. He then knew that God had not given up on him. As they come to sing, I close with these final words to you. I was a 21-year-old. Lost. I threw away my college, threw away my car, forsook all family, spent every dime I had on drugs and alcohol. Everything that I had known and been raised in my entire life, I left behind me. I was in a bad way, but God loved me enough. I know what you're expecting me to say, but I'm going to say what's in my spirit. He loved me enough not just to deliver me, or to forgive me, but he let me know that I still belonged. Go and tell my servant Peter that I am alive. Maybe if we can go on in this in the future, we'll preach on the ascension and the days that led up, those 40 days that led up to Jesus going up in Olivet. But until then, Peter, know that you have a place. Until then, Peter, know that in spite of your faults, you still belong. As we stand tonight and they sing, the altar is open.